Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. You know, there's something strange going on. Usually this side is full of folks, but we flip-flopped and this side is full of folks today. We've got several announcements. First, a word of congratulations to Judy and the whole Black family. Caroline got engaged last night to Cameron, and we are absolutely delighted for them. So we will be taking a Christmas bonus into account at Council tonight now that you have two weddings coming up. But how wonderful that both of your daughters have found somebody to love. The angel tree, we had a great response. All of the cards got taken, but just a reminder that by late afternoon on Tuesday, you need to have all of your angel tree gifts here wrapped and in black garbage bags so that Tina can pick them up and take them to the school on Wednesday. So please have them all here by Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening. Chip, who recently had shoulder replacement surgery, has found out that his shoulder has become dislocated, and so he has to have surgery tomorrow so that they can put it back in the socket. And hopefully, when the surgeon manipulates it, it'll stay in the socket, but if it doesn't, they're gonna have to cut him open and do some repair work and put some different parts in his shoulder. And it's already been a long and hard recovery for him. So Chip is already on the prayer list, but please pray for Chip and for Ann tomorrow as they go through that surgery, and we're hoping for the best. Today is the second Sunday of December, and even though it's not the third Sunday, we're going to take up a basket offering today because the basket offering goes towards staff bonuses in December, and this way the council will know at tomorrow night's meeting what has been received these first couple of Sundays. The caroling with Agape has been postponed till next Sunday. It'll take place after the cookie exchange, but with all of the rain and the yuckiness outside, just feel like it'd be better to postpone it and do it next Sunday. And speaking of the cookie exchange, I think the fellowship committee is wearing special aprons today and has something to say.
Good morning, Holly Grove.
Good morning.
On behalf of the cookie crew, I'd like to talk to you about what's going on next Sunday. Have you heard about that, Pastor Anna?
Next Sunday, you know, if it isn't in the next day or so, I don't quite remember what's going on.
Oh my goodness, we're having a cookie exchange after church.
Oh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is wonderful. Do we have to wait until next Sunday?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I'm sorry. But there is coffee back there if anyone needs it. But do you understand what a cookie exchange is?
Do I get to come and eat all the cookies I want?
Well, you can, but you can also come, bring a batch of cookies and take a batch home with you. So isn't that a great idea? You don't have to worry about holiday baking.
That sounds wonderful. So I can make one recipe, but then I can come and get a bunch of different samples of different kinds of cookies?
Absolutely.
Well, that's going to save me a lot of time and energy.
And on top of that, we're going to have hot beverages to go along with the cookies, hot cocoa and a spiced tea. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. And guess what?
What?
You don't have to bring a container. We'll have containers available for donation. So it's just a win-win situation.
Well, you know, next Sunday is the Pink Sunday. It's Joy Sunday. What a great way to have more joy in the life of our church than by having this cookie exchange after worship.
Absolutely. And just please come, bring your cookies and enjoy. And the cookie crew, oh, and we will have some giveaways as well. So come register for giveaways. So the cookie crew, please stand and
we're
Say that again.
Eat more cookies.
I love it.
That's wonderful. We have, I know you all know this, but we have a wonderful fellowship committee. Not only do they provide a lot of opportunities for us to enjoy fellowship, but they have wonderful fellowship within the committee. Thank you for all that you do for us. Just a reminder that while we are in Advent, we have Wednesday evening supper this week at 5:30. It's going to be provided by Agape, and we're having Subway. There's also going to be salads for those of us that can't have the bread. And then we're going to have worship at 6:30. We have one birthday this week, Brandon Hedrick. And for the first time since I've been here, we don't have any anniversaries or baptism. Just having one name on the list is pretty unusual. But let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we've got three prayer shawls over here. Chip, did you bring your prayer shawl? So we're going to pass around Chip's prayer shawl as well as he gets ready for this surgery tomorrow, which the invitation is available to all of you as well, that if you have a prayer shawl and you want us to pass it around and pray over it again, you're welcome to do that. So we've got Chip's prayer shawl. This is a prayer shawl for Nakia Allen, who is one of Anna Lohr's co-workers. Her son just died in a car accident, and she is really having difficulty navigating that loss. This is for Daniel Amick, Boyd and Janice's son-in-law, Allison's husband. He had a heart catheterization on Friday. They put in two stents, but he's doing well and did not have to have open heart surgery, which was the concern. And this is for Emily Curry, Nancy Curry's granddaughter, who fell and broke her ankle and had to have pretty significant surgery this week. And so this is for Emily as she recovers. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that you hear us when we come to you, lifting up our loved ones. And we have several loved ones that we lift up to you today: Chip, Nakia, Emily, and Daniel. In this season that we are reminded that you are with us, we pray that you would be with each of them in their healing journeys and in their grief journeys. Comfort them with your presence and bless these prayer shawls so that they might be a sign for each of these individuals that they are loved and cared for by Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who lifts up the lowly, who alone does wonders, who fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God, for whom we wait, in the presence of one another, we confess our sin before you. We fail in believing that your good news is for us. We falter in our call to tend your creation. We find our sense of self in material wealth. We fear those different from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us, blessed one, and assure us again of your saving grace. Amen. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, and prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And this morning, the four Nelsons are going to come forward and help us light the second candle on our Advent wreath. Got it, Sawyer. Because of war, because of violence in our communities and the world, because there is still so much unrest in our hearts, we light a candle of peace. Because hatred is still so strong, because so many swords have not yet been made into plowshares, we light a candle of peace. May the light from this candle overwhelm the world. May the light from this candle say to all God's people that God's peace is coming on earth as it already is in heaven. Sisters and brothers, be not afraid. God's peace is at hand. In response to lighting our candle today, we're going to sing the second verse of In a Far Off Place, Jesus Come. The choir is going to sing it for us once, and then we will repeat after that.
Jesus Christ.
for a children's message. And Isabel, I know you're growing up, but I really want you to hear what I'm about to say too. Will you come forward as well? Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Isabel. So this morning, I want to talk about something that we often receive at Christmas. It comes in pretty paper, sometimes with a ribbon, and it's usually underneath the Christmas tree or inside a stocking. What am I talking about? Presents! Yes, yes. Is there anything in particular that you're hoping to get for Christmas this year? What are you hoping for, Sawyer?
A skateboard.
A skateboard. That sounds like fun. Brantley, what do you want for Christmas? What did he say, Pokemon? What did you say? I didn't hear you. Can you say it louder? I bet you Brantley has a whole list of things that he's hoping for. Isabel, how about you? New ear pods. Nice. Or earbuds. Ear pods, earbuds. Nice. Well, in this season where we're kind of thinking about gifts, things that we want and things that we want to give others, I've been especially reminded of the gift that children are to the church. And I want you to know that you are not only a gift to me, but you are a gift to our church and to everybody here. And even though we all know that and think that, I want you today to make sure that you hear that from us. So I'm going to invite the congregation. We're going to go child by teenager by child, and we're going to... Oh, we want to do the teenager last? Go from youngest to oldest? Okay. We could do that. But what we're going to do is we're going to say each child's name, and we're going to say, you are a gift to us. So Sawyer, you are a gift to us. Brantley, you are a gift to us. And Isabel, you are a gift to us. We are so thankful for each of you, for the gift that you are to us, and for the gifts of your love and your humor, for your delight, and for the ways that you serve us in church. Each of you serve us here in worship, and we are thankful for you. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today.
Thank you for our church.
And thank you for each other.
This morning, we are especially thankful
for the children among us.
Thank you for Sawyer
and for Brantley
and for Isabel
and for all the kids who aren't here.
We love you, God.
Amen.
Thank you for coming up. You may go with Jane to Children's Church.
The epistle lesson is from 2 Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are at the second Sunday of Advent in this season of preparation, this season in which we are called to prepare room in our hearts for Jesus. And one of the ways that we are doing that is by preparing room in our homes for our Christmas celebrations. So imagine that most of us have put up our tree and have trimmed it with lights and ornaments. We've hung our stockings. We're either baking or we're starting to think about baking. We're sending out Christmas cards. We're buying and wrapping gifts. We are preparing for Christmas, which I was surprised to look at the calendar and see is just 2 weeks from tomorrow. This shortened Advent is really messing with my brain. But 2 weeks from right now, we will be worshiping together on Christmas Eve morning. It really never ceases to amaze me how quickly Advent goes by each year. And so here we are in the midst of a busy Advent, when John the Baptizer comes onto the scene. You may recall that every second Sunday of Advent, we read about John the Baptist. But I've always wondered, why Advent? Right? We remember that John leapt for joy in his mother Elizabeth's womb when he heard pregnant Mary's voice. But why is this story about John the Baptist that takes place before Jesus begins his public ministry at 30 years old in the lectionary on the second Sunday of Advent? Right? Don't you think that this passage would be better placed in Lent? This call of John to repentance seems a little bit more like a Lenten text than an Advent text. I mean, think about it. You've got the manger scene with the peaceful angel and the gentle shepherds and the stoic wise men, hopeful parents. Let's face it, John just doesn't fit in with the rest of these folks. The author of Mark makes sure that we know that he dresses differently than others and he eats differently. And let's be honest, our human tendency is to not like it when others are different from us. Ultimately, what John does in the midst of our Advent preparations is he disrupts us. Instead of approaching the manger quietly, solemnly, and seriously, John is over on the fringes of this scene, crying out to all who will listen to prepare the way of the Lord. Instead of being seen and not heard, he interrupts the silent night and all the festivities. And instead of adding to the warm fuzziness of this season, John instead calls us to repent. But I think if we'll take just a moment, maybe we'll realize that John has something important to offer. God has something to teach us in John and his words. All we need to do is to listen and to learn. Because John is not a distraction from our Christmas preparations and celebrations. In fact, he calls us to some of the most significant preparation that we are called to do. And he reminds us that God comes to us in ways we might not otherwise expect, in ways that we might otherwise miss. Because rarely, if ever, does God come to us in the ways that we expect. Our God, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, was born humbly into a poor family, not into a royal family, and not in a castle where he would have been placed in an elaborate crib or cradle. Instead, he was born to this poor family in a stable, which was much more like a very dirty barn, and he was placed in a feeding trough. Let's face it, Jesus coming to us doesn't just turn the world upside down, his coming turns our expectations upside down. When we want Jesus to tell us that blessed are the powerful, and blessed are the rich, and blessed are the strong, and blessed are those who have it all together, he instead teaches us that in his kingdom, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers. He tells us that in his kingdom, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Think about the story when people were bringing their infants and children to Jesus. The disciples thought that they were a distraction and they were upset and told Jesus to send the children away. But Jesus said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not stop them. For it is to children that the kingdom of God belongs." And he goes on even further, saying, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Jesus' coming turns the world upside down. And in doing so, he turns our expectations upside down. Because sometimes we don't want little children around because they, like John the Baptizer, are different. And truly, children are different. They are in much different developmental stages than adults are. But because we don't always understand these different developmental stages, we sometimes insist that adults or that children should be mini adults. And we think that, especially at church, children should be seen and not heard. And this absolutely breaks my heart. I have told parents since I've been here, "I want you to bring your children. Let them make noise and let them play, because I'd much rather have children be noisy and play during worship than to not have children here at all." Before I go any further, I want to tell all of you grown-ups that I'm sorry that you probably weren't allowed to be children in worship either. You were probably asked to sit perfectly still when your little bodies weren't able to, when your little bodies had energy and wiggles, and you were probably shushed over and over because your parents wanted you to be quiet for a whole hour long when that's impossible for children. Because children process so much, and so often they do it verbally. And so for those of you that were not allowed to be children in worship, I'm sorry, because it shouldn't have been that way. But now we know different, and we know better, and so we're doing better. We have a much different understanding of the way that children develop mentally and physically and spiritually. And we know, and there are many studies that show us, that the more active children are in worship, the more they pick up on, the more they understand, and the more likely they are to stay active in the church. And this is what we all want, right? We all want children to continue to be active in the church as they grow. I'm reading a book right now called Incorporating Children in the Church, A Mark of the Kingdom of God. And I want to read to you a quote that the authors offer. "God gifts the church with children. We teach them, and they teach us. And they even save us. Because without them, we risk the possibility of becoming rigid and overly bound. But with them, we risk the possibility of being challenged and transformed. And perhaps if we give them more than just a moment, we will find the kingdom of heaven anew." When children are active in worship with us at Holly Grove, I get glimpses of what God is doing in God's kingdom, and glimpses of what will one day be when God's kingdom is fully consummated. God uses children to teach us, to challenge us, and to transform us. And why wouldn't God use children? God came to us as a child, right? A little child shall lead them. And Jesus declared that it is to children that the kingdom belongs. And so I want to share with you a few ways that I see the kingdom of God being realized in our church through children. And one of them I just heard about this morning. Brantley, who is 8 years old and has the superpower of autism, loves coming to church. His mom told me that he woke up at 5 o'clock this morning so excited to come to church that he kept asking over and over if it was time to go to church because he wants to see Pastor Anna and he wants to help with communion. Every Sunday, Brantley comes eagerly to worship because he knows that he is safe here and he knows that he is welcomed and he knows that he is loved. And he learned all about communion on VBS, at VBS. And since then, communion has taken up such a special part of his heart that he wants to help serve the bread every Sunday. And for a little boy with few words, he says to every single person, "The body of Christ for you." Except if you listen closely, the "you" goes up. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. Brantley reminds us, Brantley teaches us that the body and blood of Christ is for you and for you and for you and for you. Brantley reminds us that we are to come eagerly to worship and we are to come eagerly to Christ's table to receive the goodness and the grace of God. Because I believe that when Brantley takes that bread and he takes that wine, he tastes and sees that the Lord is good. I asked April if she and Brantley would light the candle next Sunday, the pink candle. And when she was telling Brantley about it, he got so excited that he said, "I'm going to be like Pastor Anna. I'm going to be Brantley Anna." If only adults were as excited to come to worship as Brantley. If adults were only as excited and as eager to serve the church and to serve in worship as Brantley. If only adults were as eager to come to the table and taste and see that the Lord is good as Brantley is. Maybe the kingdom of God would be a little bit more realized in our presence. You see, oftentimes in the church, we can miss the unexpected ways that God speaks to us and teaches us and challenges us through children. Because yes, they are different than adults. Yes, with children, things are louder, and they're a little more chaotic, they're less perfect, they're less serious. But God doesn't call us, not even in worship, to perfection. God calls us to faithfulness. And God uses children, these unexpected vessels, to teach us about faith and hope and love. These precious gifts of children in our midst are the gifts that God uses to remind us of the joy that God gives, of the trust that we are to have in God, and the eagerness that we are to have in coming to worship, in serving, and in coming to the table. Brothers and sisters, as we continue to prepare room in our hearts for Jesus, may we also prepare by listening to these unexpected little messengers in our midst. And maybe we can become a little more like them. May we, the body of Christ, allow these little gifts and messengers to teach us, to challenge us, and to transform us. because it is to children that the kingdom of God belongs. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures.
He is
seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With hope and expectation, We offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration. Send forth your faithful people with words of promise and forgiveness. Teach your church to be bold in revealing your good news in word and in deed. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Reveal your majesty in the mountain peaks, flowing rivers, and blossoming wild wilderness roads. Heal the earth where it longs for renewal. Bring wholeness to the earth and all its creatures. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Turn the hearts of the nations towards righteousness and peace. Increase cooperation for justice between countries, commonwealths, political parties, and diplomatic leaders. In times of prosperity, direct leaders to be generous for the sake of all. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Surround all who are grieving, all who know depression or anxiety, or all who feel lonely and forgotten. Be a steadfast presence when all else feels uncertain. Comfort your people with tender words of love and healing, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Caroline, Greg, Bonnie, Chip, Rebecca, and all those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God, grant holy patience to all who are waiting this season. Give hope to those seeking employment. Bring reassurance to people awaiting new diagnosis or treatments. Protect expectant parents. Watch with those who keep bedside vigil. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
With you, 1,000 years is like a day. Bless the memory of the saints from ages past and the anticipation of saints yet to be born. Inspire us to live with faith as we await your new heaven and new earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayers.
Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Since you're acolyte, you get to help with the offering too. Thank you.
Let us pray together. God of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our hearts and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way before us as we meet you in the simple meal. Through Jesus Christ, our pathway and our peace.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to Christ's banquet and feast on God's gift of grace.
Thank you.
for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, you have come among us at this table. By the Spirit's power, form us to be bearers of your word, sharing gifts of mercy and grace with all through Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.